Good evening. I am very glad that each of you are here. Some of you are here because you want to be here. Some of you are here because a cruel parent made you come, but you don't want to say that because maybe that cruel parent is still somewhere where they could hear you. That is perfectly fine. But what you are doing tonight and are going to be doing for each Sunday night for the next year is going to completely transform and change the way you see the world. You're going to do something that really matters and is important. And that's an incredible thing. Most people never do anything that's really important and that really matters. So whether you're 13 or you're 63, you're going to do something that is really, really important. So 53. Sonia wanted a correction because I looked at Sonia and I said 63, but she's only 53. That's okay. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to give you some broad strokes about what's about to happen, and then we're going to dive down deep, okay? All right, let me pray. Our Father God, we are thankful for what you are doing here. Each person here is someone in your story who you cherish and love very, very much. Some of us have been following you for a long time. Some of us have just started following you. Some of us aren't following yet, but we're here as learners. And I ask your holy blessing upon every single person here. I ask that you would use Adam and myself to help impart your truth. I ask your blessing upon the mentors as they come alongside of these new ones, young ones, older ones, that we would build a firm foundation on you. In Jesus' name, amen. This class is one aspect to your foundations program. I want you to take your binder, open it up to the front. Yep. You'll see in the left side, there's a section of memory cards. Don't worry about those yet. Go ahead and turn the yellow tab that says heart. Heart. Part of what you're going to learn how to do through the course of our time together is give the Holy Spirit space to shape your heart. Okay? That's going to have to do with what you do on Sunday morning as we gather together. These are part of those resources. What you see right there is how to fill out what we call a message guide. Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about that later. Go ahead and turn the page. To the next blue tab, which is turning to Jesus. This class has four main sections. Turning to Jesus, okay, what we call repentance, the life of Jesus, prayer, the way of Jesus, the Ten Commandments, the truth of Jesus, the Apostles' Creed. This goes from Easter to Easter. Some of you at this time next year are going to make your public decision to tell people that you're a follower of Jesus Christ through baptism. Some of you have already been baptized. Some of you are wrestling with that. This is a part of that journey on whether or not you're going to follow Jesus. So what you have in front of you is the very first section called Turning to Christ, Turning to Jesus. And we're going to spend some time in that in a little bit. But before we get there, skip ahead to the green tab that says Hands. We want God to shape our heads. We want God to shape our hearts. We want God to use our hands in a way that glorifies Him. Part of what you're going to learn to do through our time together is serve in various types of ministry in various areas of the church and do various hope projects out in the community. Here at House on the Rock, we think about ministry inside the church family and hope as helping those on the outside. Mr. Adam Bennett, who's one of our elders here at the church, and also one of our teachers will be going back and forth, helps lead our hope team, and he will help you. And it's not time right this second to think about this, but maybe there's something that you can do out in our community that brings the message of Jesus Christ to those who have no hope. Maybe it's serving at Shoes for Shoeless, or maybe it's helping at a soup kitchen, or maybe it's a project in your school. There's lots of expressions of what that might look like. These are broad strokes of what your binder is. What I want you to do now, let's go back to that first blue tab that has to do with turning to Christ. This first section is 5 weeks long, okay? And basically, every time we come together in this environment, it's going to be pretty much the same thing. Because what we're learning how to do is to stamp the words of God into our hearts and into our minds. Any of you guys ever doing leather stamping? You guys ever do that? Like make anything out of leather? Ever? None of you? Ever? Girl Scouts at all? Seriously? You guys? None? Yes, Tom, I got one in the back. Amen.
Yeah, but that's only
bridal. Bridal, it's the same thing. Okay, that's okay, that's okay. The campground that our family goes to, this is my youngest son, Jackson. One of the projects that you can do is you can get a piece of leather, maybe it's a bookmark, maybe it's a keychain, and you soak that sucker in water for a while, and you take a metal stamp and you'll hit it. And you'll hit it, and you'll hit it, till the imprint of that stamp bears itself into the skin, into the flesh of that leather. We want the words of God and the hearts of God and His direction to impress itself upon us, okay? So one of the things that you guys are going to learn to do is to remember things. You're going to learn how to remember answers to questions and verses. Some of you are already torqued off. I don't want to memorize anything. I'm too old for memorizing stuff. That's not true at all. That's not true at all. Bob McGee, you do a wonderful job cleaning this building, okay? The music that you sing to as you are cleaning would rival any Wurlitzer jukebox ever comprised. The words that you have inside of that head as you are singing out, we can all memorize, can't we? We all memorize for school. We all memorize for work. We're going to learn how to memorize things here, which means we're going to learn how to rehearse them, and we're going to learn how to tell them back. Okay, does anyone want to make a run for the door yet? Okay, there's a secret door back that way if you want to escape. Okay, we all good? We all good? We ready to do this? Harper, are you ready? Dad made me come. I don't want to be here. Dad made me come. She's trying to give me like a safe word. Can I get out? Can I get out? Porter, you good?
Yeah.
You ready? You ready?
Yeah.
Jackson, how are you?
Good.
You ready?
Yeah.
Did you get a nap this afternoon? Man, I didn't either. I was in the middle of a hurricane watching my Jackson play a soccer game, and it wasn't fun at all. Reg, we good?
Yep.
All right. Layla, we all right? All right. What's up? How are you? You good? All right. All right. Ryan? Yaya? Okay, let's take that first page, turning to Christ. Could someone read out loud the verse that's on that first page from 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Could someone read that? Miss Tiffany's going to read it out loud for us. So I'm going to remind you of something that's of first importance. It's number one. There's a lot of things that are important. The Apostle Paul says this is of first importance. What? That Jesus Christ died and buried for our sins. He was crucified. These are the things that we're going to unpack together. You're going to learn what is the most important thing that you could ever possibly learn. That's who Jesus Christ is and how we respond to that. Okay. So I want you to turn the page. This is the way that your book is designed to function. Okay? When I turn to that first page, okay, of the content, what you see is your opening question. This is question one. We're going to go through three questions tonight, okay? Nice, big, bold, okay? Whenever you turn to a new page, what I want you to do is take your hand and cover up the page that's on the other side. Can you do that for me? Cover it up, okay? Because there's no cheating here, okay? Are you left-handed? I was just wondering because you used your left hand. That's cool. I got two lefties in my family, okay? Okay, okay. Because we're gonna wrestle with that question for a little bit. And then what's going to happen is we're going to understand what the answer is, and you're going to write the answer in this box, okay? The answer is also written down there for you. But the process of writing helps scribe the content into our mind, okay? It's just a part of making that truth a part of you, okay? Then you see the key verse that's down there, right? So we still have this covered up. Still have this covered up. So let's ask ourselves a question. You ready? Here's your first question. Who were you meant to be? And I want to hear what your guys' thoughts are. Who were you meant to be? In the story of God that begins so long ago, when we look at humanity, male and female, who were we meant to be in the beginning? What are your thoughts? Harper. A follower of God. That's such an awesome answer. That's well done. Tell Dad that you deserve ice cream.
I need a restroom.
Lance, who were you meant to be?
A kind person.
A kind person. Good. Well done. Who were you meant to be?
A servant.
Servant. Good word. Good word.
God's
children of God. These are really good answers. These are really good answers. Well done. Well, all of those things kind of come together in this answer, and I want us to write this down together, okay? Good image bearers of God who know and live with God, who love and glorify Him. And you'll see it's that answer is right underneath the gray box, so if you're having a hard time seeing the TV, but if you would write that down in that box. Can you do that for me, Porter? Write that answer in that box. That's it, Jackson. Do the best you can. Good image bearers of God who know and live with God, who love and glorify Him. And you might find it's helpful to keep it in those phrases. You don't have to, but we tried to break things down a little bit. You'll see it's right there. Thinking through each of those words, who was I meant to be? I was meant to be a good image bearer of God, who knows and lives with God, who love and glorify Him. This is the verse where that comes from. The beginning of the story, Genesis 1, 27. Could someone read that out loud, please? Go ahead, Lance.
So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so if you have a Bible, and you don't have to bring a Bible, but if you do bring a Bible, that's page one. That's book one, chapter one, page one. The story starts with goodness. If you guys have been in the big room where I do some of the talking on Sunday morning, I'll talk about the good story of God, the great story of God. And that story begins with goodness, okay? Things were created good. Where there was kindness. And we walked as children of God, and we were serving in the garden. All the things that you guys had already thrown out there in the very beginning. We were good image bearers. We were made to be what we were supposed to be. Genesis 1:27. Did Genesis 1:20. Dude, she's going for 2 scoops of ice cream. There you go, Harper. Well done. That's where the story starts. Now, that story moves pretty quickly into bad, where we have things like treason and corruption. God told us to do things a certain way, and we decide that we wanted to do it our own. Any of you guys have any idea what that's like? Someone in authority tells you to do it one way, and you decide to do it your own way? Porter says he knows what that's all about. Like, does Reggie do things like that, Porter? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
The story starts good, but it quickly moves to treason and corruption, where we say to God, we want to do it our own way, the result of which means everything breaks. We break. Creation breaks. Heart, mind, and soul breaks. Our relationship one with another breaks. Our relationship with the good creation breaks. Things fracture. But within that, from the very beginning, God makes a promise and says, I will fix this. You can't fix it. I'm going to fix this. That promise culminates in the delivering king that we call Jesus Christ, who came to deliver us from treason and from corruption, and then invites us into the good story of being a part of putting the pieces back together again. We talked about serving and bringing hope to the world. Those are all expressions of what it means to put the pieces back together again. This whole story moving forward into what is great celebration. But what we need to understand from the beginning, who are you meant to be? Who are you meant to be? Let's read this answer together. Read it with me. Good image bearers of God, who know and live with God, who love and glorify Him. Let's say that out loud one more time. Who are you meant to be? Good image bearers of God, who know and live with God, who love and glorify Him. Let's open up some of these ideas. Good creation, okay? Eden. Anyone know what the word Eden means? Porter knows what Eden means.
No, I was stretching
my arms. Man, I almost thought I got him. It's okay. Anyone know what Eden means? The word Eden? Garden of Eden?
Paradise?
That's exactly what that means. Yeah, it means paradise. A good image bearer. What's an image? Go ahead, Lance. Or are you stretching too? All right, what do you think an image is in the Bible when it talks about being a good image?
So like representation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is exactly. Did someone else, Porter, did you have your hand up?
I was going to say a picture.
Okay, yeah, it's a living picture. If you were to go to a temple a long, long time ago, and maybe you've seen this in some movies, if you go into a temple and you walk into the temple, whether it's Zeus or Aphrodite or some Greek temple or a Roman temple, right smack dab in the middle of that temple is going to be a very large statue, an image of that god, okay? God created the Garden of Eden in such a way that it looks like and is to be understood to be a temple. And right in the middle of that temple, guess who He put there? Us. Us. We are His images. Meaning when you see a human being, a male, a female human being, you are seeing God's expression of Himself on earth. Now, how does that make you feel? It's good? Did you say good?
Gooder.
Makes you feel gooder? Gooder? I like gooder. I like gooder. Gooder is great. My dad is an English teacher, just rolled over in his grave. Gooder. I like gooder. I like gooder. Male and female. So, are just guys image bearers of God? No. Is it just girls that are image bearers of God? No. Both male and female. That means both equal value, both equal priority, both together image bearers of God. To do what? 4 things. To know God, to live with God, to love him, and to glorify him. God wants you to know him. God intended you to live in relationship with him. God desires for you to love him. God desires that you glorify him. To glorify means to shine a spotlight on. We're going to talk about this some more, okay? All right, so let's review this question, okay? Who are you meant to be? Say it with me. Good image bearers of God, who know and live with God, who love and glorify him. Awesome. Well done. Ready? Turn the page. Don't forget to cover it up. Ready? Go. You got it, Lance? There you go. All right. All right. Now, what's the human condition? Because something seems to have happened, right? Because this doesn't feel like Eden. And this doesn't feel like everything is awesome. Go ahead, Lance. What's the human condition?
Corrupt.
Corrupt. Good word.
He got all the big words.
He did. Dude, I think Mom was giving him the answers before we got here.
Yeah.
What else? What's the human condition? Describe the way things are right now.
Awful.
Awful? Is that the word that you used?
Yeah.
I like that word. Hold on. I'm not going to punch you. That's just, yeah, fist bump. Like, God, I think that's good. Yeah, awful's good. What else?
Chaotic.
Ah, I love that word. Yes. When I think of what goes on right now, chaos. It is chaos. Good word. Yeah, Porter?
Anarchy.
Anarchy? Oh, my goodness. We have very large words. Very large words. Jackson, you got one? How are things going right now? What do you think? It's all right. It's all good. Okay. Just stretching.
Brokenness.
Brokenness. Yes, all of these words. All of these words speak into this. So, what is the human condition? Cut off from God by self-centered treason and corruption. Let's write that down in that box. And you can see the answer should be right underneath there, but we're working on getting that inside of our head. Thank you. Shoot that to Vanessa, please. Cut off from God by self-centered treason and corruption. I actually deleted the line that's in your page underneath the answer. Make sure you write that in, please, underneath the block. When things got transcribed, make sure that's a real important word. Cut off from God by self-centered treason and corruption. Here are those three main parts. I'm cut off from God. How? Self-centered, treason, and corruption. Would you read that with me? What is the human condition? Cut off from God by self-centered, treason, and corruption. Let's say that one more time. What's the human condition? Cut off from God by self-centered, treason, and corruption. Here, this is one of the ways that the Bible says it. This is Romans 1:18. Could someone who hasn't read yet read this out loud for us? Romans 1:18. Who's got it?
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth.
All right. For the wrath of God is revealed. Someone describe wrath. Someone help me understand the word wrath.
Anger.
Anger. Good. What else? What's that?
Punishment.
Punishment. Yeah. Anything good? Jackson, you got something?
Madness.
Madness. Yeah, yeah. There's a rage and a frustration and an anger of being poured out, revealed from heaven against what? Things like ungodliness, unrighteousness, who suppress the truth. So let's open up this answer a little bit. Cut off from God. What does that mean? Well, originally what? I was made to what? Live with and know him and love and glorify him, right? That's the way it was originally. Because of our decision of treason and corruption, that's now broken. Because of our willingness for treason and corruption, the relationship is broken and separated. We can't walk with God the way that we were intended to. The way that we were designed to. Why? We go back to that answer. Self-centered. Someone help me understand self-centered. That's exactly right, Porter. Dude, I'm going to have you teach. That's exactly right. I only care about myself. I'm only concerned. Yeah, Jackson. Narcissist. Oh my goodness, this class like takes vocabulary to another level. It's the self-centeredness. Yeah, narcissism. Only concerned with my own wants and my own needs and my own desires. If you have siblings, maybe you know what this warring is like a little bit. How, you know, you and of yourself, or they and of themselves, are only concerned with what is best for them. Self-centered. But God made us to know Him and live with Him, to love Him and to glorify Him. That's outward focused. God made us to be outward focused, to care for others, to love for others. Treason. What's treason? Yeah, Porter.
Revolution.
Okay, often, yeah, revolution. All right, yeah. Is there a story in the back of your mind that connected those two words together? Yes, when Lenin overthrew the Russian Republic. Yeah, yeah, exactly right. I don't know what your teacher teaches you in homeschool, but she's legit. All right, so here's this established government. That's exactly right. Can I jump on top of that for you, please? That was really good. That was really good. So here's an established government, an established order, okay, that is created. Treason means I'm going to willfully act against that to overthrow its power. So when we read page 3 of the Bible, chapter 3, God creates this good creation, okay? And He lays down certain expectations and rules. Jackson, you okay over there? All right, hold on to that pen, buddy. I know, it's a slippery one. When God lays down certain expectations, hey, here's where you're going to live, here's these trees that you can eat from, and there's something specific that God told them not to do. You guys remember what it was? Yeah, don't eat from that one tree. You can eat from every tree in the garden except that one. That's like going down to Restaurant Row down outside of Dayton. You can eat from every single restaurant here except that one right there. Don't go eat at Hardee's. You can eat at Smoky Bones. You can eat at Red Lobster. You can eat at the Olive Garden. Just don't go eat at Hardee's. What's the one thing that they do? They go eat at Hardee's. They do the one thing that God told them not to do. That's an act of treason. God said, don't do this. And they said, you're not going to tell us what to do. Self-centered, what's that word? Treason. And corruption. What comes to mind when you hear the word corruption? Yeah, Lance. Oh, wow, yeah. For better or worse? Worse, okay. What comes to mind when you hear the word corruption?
When the snake told Eve to go ahead and eat that apple off that tree.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, they ain't gonna do nothing.
Yeah, well, what happens immediately? We're told in the story, things start to die. What do you see? Do you hear something, smell something, feel something? When you hear the word corruption, what do you see in your imagination? Yeah. Porter, I'm afraid to ask, but I can't wait to hear it. Dude, this is going to be legit. Corruption.
Like a road that is very unstable.
Ooh, yeah. And where does that road take me?
Crash.
Yeah, okay, excellent. That's excellent. He just did. Porter has covered the entire book of Proverbs in our very first class. There's this path and it leads to, yeah, that's exactly right. Corruption. Lots of expressions of corruption. There's physical expressions of corruption. How many of you have ever gotten sick? Yeah. Yeah. How many of you know someone who's passed away because of a sickness? Some of you maybe? Yeah, absolutely. How many of you have had a friendship or relationship that was good, but something bad happened and now it's broken. Yeah, that's corruption. That's corruption. If you're a little bit older, you've seen things in the economy go through seasons of corruption. If you have owned something of value, you've seen it depreciate because of corruption. There is not an aspect of God's creation that now exists outside of God that's not being corrupted. And where does that path end? Where does that road end, Porter? What'd you say?
Crash.
Yeah. That story ends with death. Corruption leads to death. What is the human condition? We're cut off from God by self-centered treason and corruption. Here's the rest of that passage that you have in Romans 1. I'm going to read the whole thing for you. This is all the way down through verse 23. Just listen to how it plays out. See if you can use your imagination. This is Romans 1, 18 through 23. You heard the 18 part. Here's how it goes from there. For what can be known about God is plain. God has shown it to them. His invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they're without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking. Their foolish hearts darkened. Sound like corruption? Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. The moment, friends, that we step outside of relationship with God, things corrupt. And corruption leads to?
Crash.
Death. Yes. Yes. That is, let's read this answer from together, okay? We are cut off from God by self-centered treason and corruption. All right, ready? We're going to turn the page and cover it up. Here you go. Smooth operation. All right, so we need to ask ourselves a question. And this will be our third question for tonight. Can you rescue yourself from sin and the way of death? Jackson, what do you think? You can? You think you can? It's all right. Own it, dude. That's fine. Porter, what do you think?
You can't by yourself.
Can't by yourself? Okay. Can you rescue yourself? What? Lance, go ahead. No. Lance says no. Can you rescue yourself from sin in the way of death? Everything is corrupt. You're guilty of treason. Can you get yourself out of it? Jackson. Jackson says no. Okay, awesome. Everybody pretty sure they have an idea what the answer is? No. Because of our corrupted nature, we do not know nor live with God. We cannot love nor glorify God. Read that with me. No, because of our corrupted nature, we do not know nor live with God. We cannot love nor glorify God. They're the same words from the first answer, okay? No, live, love, glorify. Why don't we write some of that out? Write that down. Even read it to yourself as you're writing it down. Because of our corrupted nature, we do not know nor live with God. we cannot love nor glorify God. That's good handwriting. That's nice. Good job. Harper's busting that out. That's good.
Thank you.
I'm going to write that down. Part of writing it down and the reason that we write it down is to help get it into our memory. Know, live, love, glorify. Know, live, love, glorify. What are the four words? Know, live, love, glorify. Our corrupted nature means all of those things are now out of our grasp. Guilty of treason, a corrupted nature. I cannot know God. I cannot. My heart, my mind, my discernment is darkened to Him. I cannot live with Him. There's something that you're going to learn. That God is holy. He's perfect in His being. And if you read page 3, okay, of the book, here we are in relationship with God. We choose treason. We choose corruption. And so what does God then do next to Adam and Eve in the garden? He has to do something. He sends them out. That's right, because we cannot be in relationship. We cannot be together. We cannot know Him. We cannot live with Him. That means if you can't know someone and live with them, then you certainly can't what? You certainly can't love them. You certainly can't love them. And we're going to talk about what that love is in a few weeks. And if I can't love God, I can't glorify Him. I can't shine a light upon Him. No, because of this corrupted nature, here's the way the Bible says it. Romans 6:23. Could someone who hasn't read yet read that out loud, please?
The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23.
Well done, well done. For the wages of sin is death. If you're guilty of treason in the United States, the punishment is what?
Death.
It's death. Yeah. If you're convicted of treason, that's a death sentence. To act in a treasonous way against God, the wages of that is death. But the free gift of God, what that means is, and we're going to start unpacking this in weeks to come, here we are, treason and corrupt. God promises, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to offer a free gift. I'm going to give you grace into eternal life. We think of eternal life, what comes to mind? Go ahead, Harper.
Yep,
going to heaven and living forever, right? Those are true aspects. What that means even more is enjoying life the way God designed it to be. Life in all of its fullest sense. Life in its abundance. We cannot love Him. We cannot glorify Him. Sin leads to death. Corruption leads to separation. The gift of God is eternal life. Let's read that answer together. I'll ask the question, you read the answer. I'll ask the question, you read the answer. Can you rescue yourself from sin and the way of death?
No.
Because of our corrupted nature, we do not know nor live with God. We cannot love nor glorify God. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to do all three questions and answers. Okay? So turn back to the first page. The first question. I'm going to read the question and then you read the answer. Okay? I'll read the question, you read the answer. Who were you meant to be? Good image bearers of God, who know and live with God, who love and glorify Him. What's the human condition? Good. Self-centered treason and corruption. Can you rescue yourself from sin and the way of death? Very good. These are things that we would like you to start to get into your heart and into your mind. To help you do that, in this front page cover is a set of note cards. Go ahead and pull those note cards out. Little gray cards. Yep. Layla found them. Yep. Go ahead and pull them out. Jackson, can you find them? Yeah, pull them all out. Can I see this real quick, Jack? These are the questions and answers that we're going to be covering in this entire module. But really, you just need to dial down on the first three. And this is just another way for you to work through and remember the information. Who are you meant to be? And you can flip it over. You can work on the answer. You can work on the verse. What is the human condition? You flip it over. Oh, there it is. Cut off from God by self-centered what? Treason and? Dude, you guys are getting this already. Can you rescue yourself from sin in the way of death?
No.
Porter's my man. That's right. No. Preaching it, buddy. This is just a tool. Whether it's using the book or using the cards, we want you to spend some time. How much time? I bet you 5 minutes a day, maybe in the morning, maybe in the evening, you can start to get a real good handle on that information. When we come back together next week, and Mr. Adam's going to be teaching, we're going to start out our time just by reviewing those questions. And you're going to want to be the person that knows the questions and the answers and the verses. Right? Right? Or else there'll be terrible retribution. It's also my experience that girls always do this a whole lot better than the boys do. So I'll let the gauntlet be thrown down. Are there any questions? Because in a little bit, I want to introduce you into some very special people. Yes, Jack.
For our last one, can you rescue yourself from sin in the way of death? I thought, repentance, you are able to.
You're able to do that? Are you able to? You make an excellent point. How does repentance fit into that? So be here in week 4. We're going to unpack that. But what's really important for us to understand is, even when it comes to repentance, because my treason is so complete, because my corruption is so complete, I can't even pull repentance off. I need God's help to do that. And so that's that free gift of God, where He comes upon me and He warms my heart and my mind to His truth. Apart from His grace, I am dead in my trespasses and sin. Yeah, that's an excellent question.
But isn't that also in the case where you have to put the effort forth for God to help you with that?
Effort. Grace-driven effort. Yeah, it's kind of like, how close do you zero into the microscope? I think no matter what you find, no matter, God always is going first. God is always going first. Yeah, Mr. Porter, Dr. Porter. That is yours, dude.
Yeah. Don't lose it. It's yours.
That is yours. Do you want to take it home?
Yeah.
All right. It is yours to take home, my friend. It is yours to take home. Those are excellent questions. And we're going to unpack that. But yeah, it's the free gift of God. It's His grace. And that's something really, guys, we need to grab a hold of. I am that corrupt that I can't even muster repentance on my own. I am that cast off. I cannot know Him, live with Him. I cannot love or glorify. Very good. Yeah, Mr. Adam.
I would like to speak into what you asked because it's an excellent question. It's not a silly question at all. It's a question that has troubled people for centuries. Wars have been fought over that question.
Oh, yeah.
And that we are separate from that, and separate from that correct image bearer position, we're incapable of knowing how to do that. We don't have, how do we be perfect? We don't have that.
Yeah.
We can't just step out of a mud puddle onto a pedestal. So, as he said, God makes the first move. He gives us a gift, an opportunity. Without that.
The invitation to respond. But we couldn't respond without the invitation.
Yeah. The other option is, I'm just going to be good enough. I'll be good enough. Based on what? Based on what measurement? On what parameter?
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Adam. What's going to happen next? Two things. Three things. Okay. Next week, turning to Jesus. Okay. The promise. Okay. Here we are in this place of corruption, this place of treason. Okay. What's God's promise into that? What does God say that He's going to do? Because of where we are in His tremendous love for us. What's God going to do about it? Okay, that's next week. I'm going to introduce you guys to your mentor. Your mentor is an older brother, older sister in the journey who's just there to offer some encouragement, to come alongside of you, to pray for you, to high five on Sunday morning, to kind of check in midweek to see how you are. They're also there to help you as far as like helping nail down a hope project or a ministry project. They're kind of helping you there to bounce off ideas as you're working through your questions and your answers. Jesus said, go make disciples. And the way we make disciples is by helping other people follow Jesus. Okay. The way that you got paired up was Adam and I sat down and looked at your names and we looked at our disciple makers and we says, hey, that'll be a good fit. Oh, that's a good match. Oh, that's a good match. For pretty much all of you, these are complete strangers. That's okay. They've already been thinking and praying about you, okay? Okay? And they're going to be doing that for the next year. These might become some of the most dearest friends and mentors that you have your entire life. As you go through what we call life moments, they're there to help you along the journey. They're there to help you along the journey, okay? And as you go over, you'll see next to Miss Amanda this beautiful, colorful display of honey sticks. Who likes honey? I like me some honey. Here's this neat thing about honey. Okay? When students of the Bible a long, long, long time ago were doing the exact same thing that you were doing, instead of writing with pen on paper, they would be scribing Torah, the instructions of God, on tablets of pressed honey. You're like, well, that sounds already better. Where's my tablet of honey? And they would be using their finger as they're writing and as they're scribing and as they're learning the letters. And then what would they do is they would what? They would probably... And they would learn to associate that God, your word is honey to my taste. And honey is good. So, Miss Vanessa did this awesome job for me, and she tracked down all these amazing flavors of honey. So I want you to make sure that on your way out, you guys grab a honey stick. Whatever flavor you want, as the weeks go on, you can get a different one. Maybe you find some that are completely sick and disgusting. That's fine, but make sure that you grab a honey stick because what you guys are doing is sweet, sweet, sweet to your soul. Any questions, guys? Reggie, any questions? I just know you were talking a lot tonight, so I'm surprised.
Honey goes good on ice cream.
Honey goes really good on ice cream, Harper, right? All right. Layla, any questions? Jack? Yeah. Yeah, we got a couple Jacksons, we got a couple Ryans. Mr. Henderson, any questions?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm going to ask that the Lord would bless you. I'm going to pray over you, and then we're going to connect you. What you're going to do with your mentor is, and especially parents, if you have kids here, we need to establish a good form of connection communication-wise, whether the student has their own cell phone or you want them to be calling through you, or if the kids are a different place during the week, Ryan, we need to kind of figure out what best practices are. Okay, so they'll have some guiding questions for that. And then just kind of maybe helping you find that green tab in your binder because you want to start thinking through a hope project, something that you can do in the community, all right? Thank you so much for being here. Let me ask the Lord's blessing on you, and then we're going to start connecting you with people, okay? Father, thank you for the time that we've been able to share together as we've immersed ourselves in your story, our story. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that's been teaching us and opening our hearts and minds to the beautiful things that are in your truth. Will you please take these things, Father, and as we diligently apply them to our hearts and our minds, would you change the way that we see things? Bless them and keep them. May your face shine upon them and be gracious to them. Would you lift up your countenance and your smile to them? And Father, would you give them peace? In Jesus' name, amen.